Turn your Bibles, will, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and good to see each one of you. Again, you that are visiting with us, we're glad that you're here too. And thankful to our fathers, for our fathers today and for all that they have done for us and mean for us. We're thankful to our Lord and being our Heavenly Father. But in this passage, we want to consider a question here. That we see that comes from this chapter in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, we understand to be namely a Gentile church, in light of Brother Mark's Sunday school lesson that he's been teaching here the last handful of weeks. So you wonder and think about the church at Rome, wonder how it got started. You ever think about that? Wonder who it was. Was it some of that effort out of Antioch? If I understand, and to the extent that what I've think I put the scriptures together in that, it may have been from some of those churches in modern-day Turkey there in Asia Minor that had went that far. It could have been as early as the scattering there in Judea that the brother mentioned about. The Apostle Paul had never gone to Rome at the time that he writes this epistle and to them. Ultimately, he will in that last journey. We understand that there in Rome is where his life was taken. He gave his life for the sake and the ministry and work of the Lord there in testimony of Christ. The church at Rome, they have a significance. All the Word of God has a significance to us, but they being namely a Gentile church there, we see the Lord speaking to us, as he does in all the scriptures, was speaking to us as Gentiles ourselves. In Romans chapter 4, we want to take a look here, verse 16 through 18. The scripture says here, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This morning we want to take and consider from this passage, is Abraham your father? Is Abraham your father? Well, Brother Jim, I'm not a Jew. I don't descend from the Jews, from that of Jacob's children, who is Abraham's grandson. I don't descend from those children that Abraham had of Keturah and that second marriage that he had. I don't descend from Abraham in that way, to my knowledge. How can it be that Abraham would be my father? You ask that question, and we look here in the scripture. Well, there's another way. And you know what? It's the most important way. Is Abraham your father? The apostle embarks upon this with this church, and again, we understand it namely to be filled, for the most part, with Gentile believers, non-Jews, no connection to Abraham. And in verse number 1, listen to what he asks. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Now, Paul could say that from the standpoint of himself being a Jew, but I think he's speaking here to the church, and his reference is unto them. He's introducing this, that Abraham is our father. Yes, even those Romans, even those Italians that had been saved by the grace of the Lord, he's saying, Abraham, our father. It would be understood that Paul could refer to Abraham himself, being a Jew, as his father. It was a great claim, even in Jesus' day, in the day of Jesus' ministry and walk upon the earth, that they claimed Abraham. The Jews claimed Abraham, and they were very offended about Jesus touching on about Abraham. Remember when he talked about before Abraham was, I am? Oh, man, that got him riled, didn't it? Remember when he talked about Abraham desiring to see his day and saw it? You're not even 50 years old, they said. And so we can understand that about Paul, but how is it that he speaks? And you know what? It is so in Romans chapter 11 over in verse number 13. He makes it very clear as he writes this book to the church there at Rome. There's a reference there, you Gentiles. So it's very clear that the book is namely to a Gentile church. Not to say that there wouldn't be any Jews that were saved and a member there, but that brings this book even more so to you and me. And we ask this question, is Abraham your father? What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? What has he found regarding the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, what he had done before God, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, Abraham could get real excited about what he did and his own righteousness in himself, but not before God. There would be no glorying before God in the works of the flesh of Abraham. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It talks about this and mentions this over in Genesis 15 as the Lord is dealing there with Abraham. And I want this morning, as we look into this passage, remember, I trust you've read it. We don't have time to go over there and read it. Maybe you'll just have to take my word for it right now about what it says. But God did not speak to Abraham about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not mention those things in particular and specifically. But you know what he talked to Abraham about? He talked and spoke to Abraham about the promise that he made unto him. And you know what? Abraham believed it. Abraham had a promise delivered to him, and Abraham believed what God said regarding what he had promised. We've got Abraham over here, and that he believed God and what God said at that time. And then we've got you and me over here at this time and what God has said to us. He's spoken to us. He's spoken to each and every one of us from his word. And where do we stand? Abraham believed God and what God told him. Where do you stand? Where do I stand? For what saith the Scripture, verse 3? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It makes it clear in the early verse that there's no righteousness from our works and what we can do. But in this sense, simply believing and operating and going forward in his entire life based on what God had told him, he believed the Lord. And he had righteousness indeed from the Lord. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If someone looks to work for the salvation of their soul, let's say, now that's the greatest issue and the main issue of life and an individual soul. Being rescued and being saved, it's not reckoned of the favor of God, but of debt. If you've got something you can work and oblige the Lord to do something for you, then grace is out the window. But the thing is, this affair of sin and the need of our souls and the rescue that we need, it cannot be settled on our part by debt. We have nothing that we can pay God, nothing that we can give God, nothing that God needs. Remember what the Scripture says in Isaiah. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best day that you and I, the best moment that you and I have ever had, is a filthy rag before God. We've got nothing. But here, this man, he believed God and what God had brought to him. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not justifying, not bringing his righteousness, his or her righteousness before the Lord and saying, here you go, Lord, here's my righteousness. Now do something for me. You're obliged. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Hear that. The one that's able to justify the ungodly that may be tempted and indeed are tempted to try to work some righteousness. The ungodly, is that not an oxymoron? The ungodly working righteousness? It's not a fit. It's not meat. It's impossible. The ungodly can't work righteousness. That's the whole thing, is we can't. We cannot do it. But see, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith in him, in that one that is a justifier of the ungodly, is counted for righteousness. Faith. Faith. Faith in our Lord. Faith in our Lord that will change our lives, change our direction, cause us to hate our sin and our wickedness and know that it is before God and him alone. And he's just in pouring out his wrath and his condemnation and sending sinners to hell and the lake of fire forever because of their unrepentance and because of their wickedness and their sin and disobedience against him. But one that believes what he said, is the answer, is the truth, is the help that we need, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith in our Lord. Even so David, even as David, verse number 6, also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the God imputeth righteousness without works. David spoke about this over in Psalm 32, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Amen. So we have some sins. They need to be washed away. We have iniquities indeed, individually. They need to be forgiven. And that person that has them forgiven and has them cleansed and washed away is blessed indeed. Amen. I tell you what do you see in that word blessed? We see joy. We see the touch of God. Blessed. David wrote about it. To be forgiven, to have our iniquities forgiven, to have our sins covered and washed away. Blessed is the man, verse number 8, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I had sins that were on my account. You have debts, short term or long term, that you owe or have had some. You signed on the dotted line, you and I signed on the dotted line, and we committed to paying those debts. Nobody else owes the debt, but we signed it. For a vehicle, for a house, for a this or a that or the other. It's ours. Well, each and every one of us, we've got sin to our account, and they don't belong to anybody else but us. And when it comes time, and if you will, in the Lord's reckoning, he keeps track of all those transgressions against him. He's got a ledger indeed of all the sins of sinners against him. And when it comes time, the unrepentant, unbelieving sinner dies and passes from this life. They stand before God. Sin is imputed unto them. It's your account. It's been our account all along. But you know what? We get confidence in just running on through life, that kind of like people do with some debts. Well, I'll just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away. But sin doesn't go away, does it? It doesn't go away. There is, in fact, indeed, as we live life, sin is imputed now because there's condemnation, coming damnation that's waiting for the sinner to die. And that will fall on their head. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He died and lifted up his eyes in hell. His sins were imputed upon him judicially. The Lord knew the account of it. The Lord knows and sees he's unrepentant, he's unbelieving, he has no Savior, his sin is upon him, and he's in hell yet today. I tell you what, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen? There's therefore now no condemnation to those that have believed and trusted and are saved by Christ. Now, sin's not imputed unto me from the standpoint of the eternity of my soul. Sin at death will not be imputed unto me because Christ has paid for them for me. I tell you what David spoke about indeed is a blessed thing. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse number 9, cometh this blessedness? This blessedness, how does it arrive here? How does it arrive on station and on the scene? How does it come near? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? Maybe there at Rome there were some Jews. Maybe they had some pride about being of the seed of Abraham and that token of circumcision, dealing with that. You know what you can place in here in the stead of circumcision? Any work you want to talk about. Well, Brother Jim, you just don't know what I've done. I tell you what, you plug it in right here. You can plug it in right here. What's he say about it? This blessedness. Then cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, on the Jews, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It's clear. The Lord said that in the Scripture, right? Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. He believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He believed the Lord. He believed the promise that the Lord gave him, what the Lord told him. Abraham believed it and said, yes, I receive it, I believe it, I need it, it's true, it's the only future that I have. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying in that? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, when he was circumcised, or in uncircumcision? It was before he was circumcised. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That's when he believed. Jews get all tore up and all confident and all boastful about this of the circumcision, this personal token of the promise of God unto their father Abraham for the Jews. Abraham believed before he was circumcised. That's out the window. That's out the window. That is for a totally different purpose. Not for the salvation of the sinner. See, even among the Gentiles, for evidently decades, and we've seen it even up here to our day today, that there were those very near the first church and the propagation of that church and other churches and the spreading of the gospel up into Asia Minor and up into Europe, that there were those that said, like they do today, you got to add something to Christ. You got to take something away from Christ. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance of sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That can't be all that it is and all it's needed to save the sinner. You got to add something else. You Gentiles, you got to be circumcised because you're not. It went on. They had all kinds of, you got to keep the law. We've got them today. We've seen it recently of those that we know that they got to bring in this Messianic Jew service and worship and keep these feasts and these holidays that are given to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Got to bring something else in. Faith was reckoned. This blessedness was brought into Abraham when he was uncircumcised. And he received, verse number 11, the sign of circumcision, the token which it is, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. He received circumcision because he believed God. He believed. And it was what the Lord had reserved for him and his physical children for the promise that God had promised unto the nation of Israel. and his children beyond, and even some other nations that came forth from Abraham. He received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Here we see a key. Is Abraham your father? Well, do you believe in Christ? Now listen, I'm not talking about believing in Christ like you believe in some other historical figure, but do you believe in Christ Jesus to be the Savior of your soul and the fulfiller of the death, his death, burial, and resurrection for you because you need it? Because without him, you have no hope, but with him, you have all hope and help. That's the believing I'm talking about. Not to believe that folks came and discovered our country, not to believe the events of European history or otherwise. I'm not talking about believing in Christ. A lot of people believe in Christ that way. They believe Jesus was as a man, but they don't believe Jesus is as their personal Savior. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Righteousness imputed. Righteousness can be imputed unto us, indeed, by believing like Abraham did, by believing God as Abraham did. That example. We don't worship Abraham, but we look to Abraham in the example. He believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness that God would receive. Not our own righteousness, but the imputed righteousness of Christ is what's being alluded to. Let's read it again. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Is he your father today? Though they be not circumcised, that's not the issue, circumcision is not, that righteousness might be imputed unto them, unto us also. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, so he is also the father of those that are circumcised, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You know, there are some Jews that bear that token of circumcision because of the promises given to Abraham regarding his physical posterity. And you know what? They're saved too. And you know, there are those, us, we that are here this morning, many of us that are here this morning, that we, being not of the Jews, are yet the children of Abraham by faith. He is our father, having faith ourselves in the promise of God, the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the promise, verse 13, that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his seed through the law, through physical obedience of sinners, of the ungodly, as we saw in verse number 5. The promise that he should be heir was not to Abraham or his posterity through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You know, it's righteous to believe the Lord. You know, when the Lord speaks, it's the truth. And it should just be received and believed and adhered to by mankind. That's just the way it's supposed to be. But sinners reject it, don't they? We reject it ourselves. He says this promise to Abraham is through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14, for if they which are not of the law heirs, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. If it just comes by the law and by being physically related to Abraham. And the promise is made of none effect. What God said and promised to Abraham if that's received by keeping the law, it all fizzles out. The promise is so much greater than anything that we can do. It's along the line of what Brother Chris preached some time ago. Remember how he preached there in the Gospels about the Lord, that the Lord's benefit and blessing to his children is like the Lord paying somebody $1,000 an hour to work at McDonald's? It's not even a match what you and I can do up against the promise and the blessing that God gives to sinners. What the Lord gives in the salvation of the sinners. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You don't need to believe. You worked it. You got it by working it. And the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. The law came, and he makes it clear in coming chapters, that the law of God has made it to where we can see that we are all guilty before God. The law of God shows that you and I are transgressors. And if I've offended in one point, I'm guilty of all the law. I'm a transgressor before God. I broke the law. What's the law do? The law comes in, and to the obedient, the law has no impact. You obey the law. We obey the laws of the land. They don't come and arrest you. You obey the laws of the land. You obey the rules at work. You don't have any kind of problem with being reprimanded at work. Children, you obey the law of your parents, of your mother and your father. You don't get crossways. You don't get disciplined. You don't get be crossways with your parents. But the law is given to show that we fall short. We're guilty. We are transgressors. We're guilty before God. He said, because the law worketh wrath. You know what the law does? A law is given. You know how many laws we were given at the beginning? Our daddy Adam was given one law, don't eat of the tree. And he was given another directive, dress the garden and keep it. So, at the most, you could say we got two. How many do we have now? Well, by the time that Israel hit Mount Sinai, we ended up with 10, which were a summary of so many other things. And now look at the laws of our land today. They're without number. Because you know why? We keep on transgressing and transgressing and transgressing and transgressing. Law bringeth wrath. God says what he says, and we disobey it. In Adam, we did. It brought wrath, didn't it? God says no, and we want to do yes. Brings wrath on our part too, doesn't it? Then more law comes, and God is now getting more specific, and he's got to talk real plain because we're so blinded with our sin. And he's becoming more wrathful because we just keep on sinning against him. And in the times of the days of Noah, the flood, the thinking of man is only evil continually. Wrath is building up in the judgment of God upon man. And the wrath of man is fighting against God and fighting against God and hating God more and more. Law does nothing but bring wrath, doesn't it? On both sides, on both parties. Because the law worketh wrath. Understand that. For where no law is, there's no transgression. But God, by his justice, is duty-bound to bring law to show us our guilt, because we're guilty. Therefore, verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace, the favor of the Lord. You know, God, our Lord has visited us when we didn't even know we had a problem. He's given us a good word when he was not obligated to give us a good word at all. You know what? God has not bailed out on his creation. Oh, he, at that time of the flood, he destroyed the earth and saved 8 souls that there might be a future. And then promised that he would never destroy the world by water again. He keeps on being long-suffering and merciful, doesn't he? You know, if you're here and you're not saved, he's been merciful unto you up until this time. That once again you could hear, not from Jim Duke, but hear from God Almighty the truth about your need and about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners like you. Therefore, it is a faith. Believe in the Lord, that it's all in Him, that it might be by grace, the favor of the Lord. He's glorified and praised in those things. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Is Abraham your father? If you believe the Lord and are saved by Him, He is indeed your father. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Oh, the understanding of that is made more clearer, is made clearer for us here in the New Testament. We remember that in the Old Testament scriptures, but when you're reading that in and of itself, you think about all the children that he's going to have. You think about the nations that are going to come forth from his loins, don't you? I mean, that's my bent, that's my thinking. But here we see that the Lord was talking about far and beyond, that Abraham's seed would just be those that would come forth from his own body. The children of faith. Faith in the Lord. As written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who is a quickener of the dead, who quickeneth the dead. He makes alive, the Lord makes alive, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God talks about things that don't even exist, just like they are. You know why? Because he can take a sinner, and he can make him alive. He can take sins, and he can wash them away in the blood of his Son. He can take you and change your life and save your soul and give you hope and help in Christ when you're on the way to hell and eternal destruction. What is it that Jesus says? With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The song that our brother led us in this morning, that's a great song. What a thought it brings. Why is it that you and I always go to the negative? I mean, if God would save one sinner, why wouldn't he save you? Amen? But we always say, well, no, Lord hadn't moved yet. Lord hadn't stirred yet. Lord hadn't done this. I hadn't done that. We lay it all on the Lord. What has the Lord done? He's brought his word and his truth. He's made a promise. To those that believe. To those that believe. Listen to what it says here. Who against hope, speaking of Abraham, believed in hope. There was no hope. But he believed in hope. Why? Because God spoke that he might become the father of many nations. He had not one child. He tried to do it his own way. But the Lord's promise was from him and Sarah. According to all that which was spoken by the Lord, so shall thy seed be. How could he be a father? He and Abraham and Sarah were long past having children. But being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. We see in those Old Testament scriptures about laying it on Sarah's condition, but this talks about Abraham's condition too. Amen? When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, which we understand and know that from the account in Genesis, but I haven't thought about it from the other standpoint, from his standpoint, but here it speaks about it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith in the Lord, giving glory to God. You're going to have a son. That's what Abraham was told. You're going to have a son. He said, okay, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have a son. God said I'm going to have a son. God said I'm going to be the father of many nations. I believe it. I believe it. And being fully persuaded, hear this, folks, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, you and I are not called to save ourselves. We are called to believe, to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord that has said that he will save the repentant and the believing. Is that not the promise that we have to us today? Is that the Lord says, repent and believe, and he will save. Abraham was given the promise, you're going to have a son, you and your wife Sarah, and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He believed. What's it say? And being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. That was what was delivered to him. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger around saying, no, that can't be. He didn't stagger. The promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith in the Lord, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Listen, if you haven't listened to anything this morning, listen to this. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you believe that? Do you believe and receive that? That's the promise to you and me today. Not about having a son, and not that we'll be men, that we'll be the father of many nations. That was what was given to Abraham. That was the promise given to him, but the promise to you and me. Do you believe and receive Jesus? For the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins, by the power of God to grant unto you everlasting life? We're called to repent and believe and to receive it. Not being weak in faith, but strong in faith in the Lord. He's the one that's declared it. He's the one that's promised to do it. Is Abraham your father? What's it say? This goes on. There's several things that our brother deals with. But what's it say in Romans 10? Romans 10. He talks about Israel, their zeal, it's misdirected, they're ignorant. Verse number 3, Jesus Christ is the end of everything to everyone that, what? Believeth, right? Moses describes blessed to the righteousness, right, which is of the law. If you pursue after the law, you're stuck, and it's a miserable end. But the righteousness of faith, verse number 6, speaketh on this wise, don't you try to achieve anything with God. Because you can't. You and I cannot. We're powerless to deal in the realm of where our sin is dealt with. But what saith it, verse number 8? The word is nigh, very near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. In Christ, in the Lord which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, for your soul, for your sin, for your need, thou shalt be saved. Now, I didn't put that in there. But our Lord did. Because that is how this blessedness that the passage speaks about comes. Is Abraham your father? only if you've repented of your sins before God and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.